But so just with coming into the new year, just pray about that. And it's going to be awesome. But what we believe, we're going to be talking about just over the next couple months of just as a church, what we believe and just what, you know, God is doing in our lives. But we believe that the prayers of the righteous can move the hand of God. Amen. The prayers of the righteous can move the hand of God. In Proverbs 15, verse 29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." You know, when we pray, I believe that God listens, right? But just because he's listening doesn't always mean that he's going to answer our prayers in our timing, right? He's answering them. And sometimes we can be so focused on, all right, well, this is the result that I'm waiting for, that God could answer our prayer, but it's actually something completely different. But we're so focused like, oh, he didn't answer our prayers. But yes, he did. It just may not have been in the timing or the way that we thought that God was going to answer them. Amen? You know, a book that I just dove back into, I love it. It's one of my favorite books. It will never collect dust on my bookshelf because of I always go back to it. But it's The Circle Maker. Who's read The Circle Maker? A few people in here. So this book by Mark Batterson, he talks about a man who it was during the first generation before Jesus. So this was a time where everyone was pretty distant from God, and there was this man named Honi, and there was a huge drought over the city, and they hadn't had water, they hadn't had a rain in such a long time, and he was willing, when everyone else felt they were distant from God, and God's left us, and like we're all just going to shrivel up and die, he was literally, he just drew. I did this last night too, but I'm like, I actually have no idea how big the circle was, but let's just pretend. He drew a circle in the dirt, and he said, "Lord, I'm not moving from this circle until you make it rain." And I'm sorry. but literally, I'm not going to move from this circle until you make it rain. And that's a bold prayer, because everybody around him was going, "Bro, there's like not a cloud in the sky, and there hasn't been for like 6 months." And he was willing to go there and say, "You know what? Even though we're in this time frame of we feel distant from God," he believed that God was still with them. Even though they couldn't hear the voice of God, he believed that God could still hear him. And he was willing to pray. And guess what ends up happening? You can take a guess. It rained. So he was praying and it started drizzling. Like, oh, that's awesome. That's cute. But Lord, we need a little bit more than a drizzle, okay? And so what ends up happening? A flood comes. Literally just, it just starts pouring. Well, that scared everybody even more. Like, oh my goodness. So then he starts praying like, "No, I actually need you to calm the storms." And he literally was praying for this. And what happened? It was just like a steady downfall, like we have here in our Florida backyard. Sometimes it's a lot more than that. But he drew a circle around himself and said, "I'm not going to leave this circle until you show mercy on your children and in this flood." You know, and how can we relate that story to our lives? I was thinking as we come into this new year, I'm thinking, okay, we're starting off the new year, right? I want to pray some circles around my life. I want to start praying for things that only God can answer. Like big prayers. Anything that you can do in your own, on your own strength. It's like, where's our faith level? Like what are we really putting our trust in God? Like, "Lord, this person that doesn't know God, that's an atheist, doesn't know you at all, I want to see them saved before the end of 2018. I'm not going into the next year with this family member still dealing with the same things. I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to keep praying for them. And I'm not going to stop praying for them." Amen. I'm believing for this opportunity to open up. I believe that I've heard from God. I believe it's from the Lord. And I'm going to see it happen this year. Amen? Come on, we got to stir ourselves a little bit. He prayed that bold prayer. You know, but as I just want to ask everyone tonight, where's our prayer life? Be honest with ourselves. You know, is it strong? Is it weak? Is it non-existent? Like, these are some of the things that are a little hard to talk about. You know, you get in a group of people like, it's been a struggle. It's okay. Everybody in the room is dealing with something, right? That's why I love when we can break these things down just in a group and say, hey, can we just be honest? Like, you know what? It's been a struggle in this area. But guess what? You're not hiding anything from God. That's the reality. It doesn't matter what I think or what the person next to you thinks. You say, well, everyone's going to judge me. Who cares? If Johnny judges me, that's a him problem. It's not a me problem. I want to get right with God. So before we move on, I need everyone to just repeat after me. We're going to pray this together, okay? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I will not get offended. Even if I do get offended, it's not my spirit, it's my flesh. And as I said yesterday, we'll deal with that later. Amen? Okay, so we're going to play this video, and I'm really quirky and like to put things together in funny ways. And so after we play this video, we're going to talk about some of these things. But I believe, anybody seen those credit card commercials where, you know, apply now. Yeah, you can get all these rates and everything and awesome. That seems like it's the same way in the church with our walk with God, with our prayer life. If we were applying for different cards for our prayer life, I feel like this is what the commercials would look a little bit like.
Apply now for our Chase Freedom's Reward card, where you're free from sin and willing to pray for anything. Apply now for our Capital One Spark card, where you only pray when you're on fire for God. Light a spark in your prayer life today. Hashtag spark life. Apply now for our Bank of America card, where all of the American Christians think they are praying to a white Jesus.
Kohl's card. I like to shop here. Nothing to do what we're talking about right now.
Apply now for our Ventures Rewards card, for those Christians that only pray for things that they want to happen in their lives. Hashtag rewards. Next up, we have our M&M card. Those Christians that only pray for miracles and meals. Apply now for your M&M card. Don't forget your Discover card. We're those Christians that are discovering that their prayer life is non-existent.
Apply now to get your Access 360 card, where you get the presence of God 360 days of the year. Bonus fact, it takes 5 days to get this card.
Act now and you can upgrade from gold to platinum status that makes you an entitled Christian, thinking that God should do everything that you ask of him. We're calling this new card Genie.
Disclaimer. You may experience some tingling sensations on the tips of your ears, your nose, your fingers, your feet, the harder reach spot in the back where you can never scratch, shoulders, the top of your head, the bottom of your feet. Side effects may include and not limited to diarrhea, gonorrhea, onomatopoeia.
Okay. Amen. So you have to bring just a little bit of humor to this, because that can hit hard and be an ouch at the same time. Like, how do we make this funny but real at the same time? But in all seriousness, there are certain things that, you know, when we're praying to God about, or when we want God to move, he's not going to answer unless we pray. There's certain things. And just because we pray it doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to answer it in the way that we want. Amen? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask him, we know that we have what we have asked him. Number one tonight, we're going to talk about just 7 different thoughts on our prayer and just our prayer life and fasting. Number one, if you're taking notes, God is not our genie. He's not our prayer genie. If it's in his will, we can be confident that that prayer will be answered. But in that scripture, there's a key passage there. Is it in his will? Right? Because I'm just talking out of experience, okay? I've been there where I really, really wanted something, and I even really felt like it was from God. But it wasn't. But I was willing, and when someone would come to me and say, Tim, I'm praying with you, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to offend you, but that I don't feel the same way. And when two or three other people are starting to say that, I would lash back with, well, I prayed about it, but did I really? You know, is it really in God's will? And then I was upset that it didn't happen in the time, and then I can look back and go, whoa, thank you, God. Anybody else been there before? Like, thank you, Lord, that prayer wasn't answered. My way, because sometimes we can stamp God's will to things. We just have to be careful in those areas. Amen. No one's offended, right? We're all good. You know, I'm happy that God's not my genie, right? Because he's answered a whole lot more than three of my prayers. God's been there at every turn in my life. Don't limit God to three wishes. So much more than that. Number two, pray the word. Look, yes, getting in the word is super important, but speak the promises. Anybody had a rough 2017? Go ahead and throw your hand up. I'm right there with you. I got both hands up. In 2017, just things in my personal life, just things, you know, the Lord just revealing inside of me, or things the enemy's trying to, it's like, no, devil, get out. But man, we have to pray and speak the promises. Don't make a wish list. Write it down in a prayer journal. What do you want to see God do in 2018 in your personal life? Some of these things that you see all over the place, we have to spell them out. Cancer is spelled healing. Amen? Atheist. Well, he's never going to know God. Yes, he is. Don't give up on him. Atheist is spelled salvation. Brokenness is spelled beauty. Come on, anybody like that song? There's beauty. I can't sing at all. You don't want me singing right now. A broken marriage is spelled reconciliation. Come on. We have to believe these things. Job loss, spelled new opportunity. How are you looking at it? How are you praying about it? It's all in how we're looking at it and praying over these things. Number three, pray until you love it. Pray until you love it. Anyone else like me, where there's certain mornings you're like, it's a little bit hard to pray. Like, let's just be real. Like, it's a little, whether you're tired or this or that, you know, pray until you love it. Well, I don't like praying, or I don't feel like praying. Well, let's put our big boy pants on, right? I had it said to me once, if you don't feel like praying, talk to God about it. Right? But it's so true. Or just talk to him. You don't know how many times I've been driving alone in my car, and I'm not praying this super spiritual prayer. I'm literally like talking to God. Like, God, what's going on? Right? People around me, like, I don't have a phone. There's no Bluetooth. Like, people, right? I'm just talking to God. Like, he'll listen. I promise. Amen? Two problems that we have, that I feel like we have with our prayer life, though. Number one, we don't see the results we want when we pray, because we don't truly know what results we are looking for. We don't see the results that we want when we pray because we don't truly know what the results we are looking for. Again, we're praying, God, I need an answer to this prayer, and I'm looking this way, and God gives us an answer because I'm so focused on this. The Lord's like, come on, can I get your attention? Do you see this is better? This is a better way? And number two, we don't see the results that we want in our prayer life because we quit praying too easily. We give up too soon. What if something that you've been praying for day after day, week after week, month after month, maybe even year after year, would be answered if you would just pray just a little bit longer, one more day? Well, Tim, that's silly. No, it's not. Where's our faith level? Man, we got to get this. We can't give up praying for those opportunities or whatever God's doing in our lives. Don't give up on that person. Pastor Greg has always shared the story about when he was a youth pastor back in Ohio, and he was praying for this kid, and he had his name on his desk, and he prayed for him day after day, week after week, month after month. And after a while, he said, this kid's not coming back, and he threw his name in the trash. That night, he showed up to youth group. That night, Pastor Greg said, I'm never going to ever give up on somebody again. No one is ever too far. Come on. We quit praying sometimes right before that miracle or that breakthrough happens in our lives. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Okay, this is a little embarrassing, but let's just go here. I remember anybody remember the first time that you prayed out loud in a big group of people? Right? Did you get a little like sweaty? Like, oh, here it comes. Like, you know, you're like, or you're so scared, and you're like, I gotta pray this super spiritual prayer. Okay, I'm at a summer camp. Mind you, I got saved like just a couple months before this, and I'm at a summer camp. I was invited into the lead because I was already I was 18, already graduated high school, so I couldn't go as a high school student, so I went as part of leadership. And I had been saved for just a couple months, and of course, in a room full of 60 or 70 leaders, I get called on by my youth pastor because there was a bunch of different youth groups there. And, Tim, I want you to come up and pray for our guest speaker that's flying in tonight. What? So I get up to the front, and there's like three of us. And, of course, I make sure that I'm in the back of the line because I don't want to go first. Then it made it worse because I'm like, man, maybe I should have went first. And anybody else been there? Come on, let's be real. Like, come on. So then I get up, and I start praying. I'm praying for this guy's seatbelt, and like, Lord, when he gets on the plane, I pray that his seatbelt is buckled right, and like all these different things. And I'm like, the flight attendants and the moms and the dogs, I don't even know what I'm praying for. And but I look back on that thinking, how silly. You remember this? Dan was there. I'm praying for all these crazy things, and I'm like, man, it was one of those times where I just remember, like, man, like, no, just getting back to the basics. Like, God's not concerned with the words that you can speak in your prayer life. Like, start somewhere. You say, well, I can't pray in a big group of people. Then pray alone with God. Let's start there. Let's develop our prayer life. Let's develop our relationship with the Lord. Then maybe you can get with just a couple people, and you can just pray in a little circle. You can pray for one another, like building it up. Number four, alone time with God is vital. Our alone time with God is vital. There should be times where you're able to get alone with God. Even if you're fine with walking up here and praying a prayer on a microphone. Well, I can do that. Great. That's awesome. But are we able to get alone with the Lord? Find yourself a prayer closet to talk to God. Find a way to delete all the distractions that happen in this life that are always trying to pull us away from God's presence. Oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. Well, I'm just too busy. We need to remember that Jonah, his prayer closet was inside of a whale. So no matter how busy that you may feel, you can be able to take a step back from everything and say, God, I got to keep you first. I got to put you first. Take a drive in your car. I just love driving. Just taking drives. I'm going nowhere. I just need to go talk to the Lord for a little bit. Like whatever it is. Because I look around the room. There's some people in here that have some busy schedules. Like your schedule's pretty busy. Right? Anybody? You got a busy schedule? It's like find time. You got to find time for the Lord. There's some strong Christians that live in bondage of a busy schedule. It's like we got to make time. We have to get back to that, the root of our faith. You may even believe that you could be strong in your faith, a strong Christian, but the enemy can sometimes come in and you had a really busy month, December. Wow, crazy, right? And you didn't have all those alone times that you once had. And the enemy can come in your head and literally start to make you feel like, You're not worthy. Oh my goodness, you didn't have your alone time with God that day. And you can actually start putting condemnation on yourself. And that's happened. That's a struggle that my wife and I have had. We're like, man, we didn't have time to pray together. We didn't have time to. I didn't even get alone with God today. I didn't do my soap. Right? All of these different things, and condemnation can start to come in. But here's what I realize. Even when you have a busy season, you've had a busy day, a busy week, maybe even a busy month, those that really have a relationship with God, that are truly walking with Him, even if your prayers are short and you weren't able to pray for a long time, short prayers, as long as you're close to the throne, get there. So I can be relieved to know that God knows my heart. I'm walking this thing out. But when you say God knows my heart and you don't have a prayer life and then you're also distant from God, that's when things can get a little shaky. Number five, prayer drives out the demonic. Ooh. Listen, Satan, it doesn't matter what you feel like. Well, I'm struggling with this, and I've been dabbling in that, and I'm really struggling in this area. Satan fears a weak Christian on their knees praying way more than a strong Christian that thinks they got it all together. Like, our biggest strength is on our knees saying, God, I need you in full control. Not me walking around thinking that I've arrived and got it all together. Just giving it to God, saying, God, I need you. I need you to show up in this way. Look, we need to stop wasting our time just dabbling in these things. Well, whether it's a demonic presence or not, just things that we know that we shouldn't be in. Going in, and I'm, who did a New Year's resolution? Be honest. Anybody in the room? I'm not knocking them, okay? All right? No, hey, anybody, little plug. Go subscribe to Nicole Miner's, what's it called? I don't even know what they're called. Yeah, a blog. Yeah, the blogs, okay? Go subscribe to her blog. It's an amazing read, and I agreed 100% with her last post. There's nothing wrong, you know, with a New Year's resolution, but you always end up just letting it go in month two, right? Anybody like, I'm going to get in shape. There's a pizza. Like, right? I mean, anybody, like, yeah, like, really? But when you can attach prayer and you're fasting and you're seeking the Lord to these things and you have a goal, there's nothing wrong with goals. I write down goals all the time, all right? But you, when you have these goals and you're praying about it, man, you can, with the Lord, you can achieve these things. But we dabble in all these different things. We need to get rid of the old. If you want to change, like, I need to be different, then we need to start not only praying, but start asking God to change some stuff on the inside. That's true change, right? Like, we carry these things that attach themselves to us, the demonic presence. Well, look, I'm not afraid to talk about it. Porn addictions, sex addiction. Porn is, it's like at an all-time high. I'm anybody follow the ESPN app on social media, on Instagram? Literally now, I'm like, you can scroll, and I don't even click on the picture, but like Big Boobs McGee like shows up on the, I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, what happened? Like, this is just on my Instagram, and it's on ESPN. Like, it's all over the place. But when you dabble in that stuff, what do you think's going to happen? You can't defeat the demons that you continue to flirt with. It's not going to happen. Well, I'm getting rid of this in 2018. But you're leaving that door open. You don't have an accountability partner. You don't even really want to succeed because you want to keep it in your life. If you guys could go ahead and get the waters and just go ahead and pass those out for me. Number six, fasting without prayer is just a diet. Come on. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. There's nothing wrong with a diet. A diet can be a good thing. I need to go on a diet. All right? I need to go on a new lifestyle. So, apparently. There's nothing wrong with that. But fasting, thinking that, oh, okay, I'm gonna do the Daniel's fast. I remember the first year, it was 5 or 6 years ago, the first time that I ever did the Daniel fast. I didn't replace it with any extra prayer. So what I did, in reality, I ate grass for 3 weeks. Congratulations. Here's a cookie to me. Like, I didn't get anything out of it. I didn't replace the time that I would have spent eating that pizza and that ice cream and all those delicious things. I didn't replace it with any more time with God. So let me drink this real quick. It's not that impressive. It's kind of like not that big. All right? So everybody hold up your water. And I want everyone to just enlighten me for a couple minutes, okay? And if you're real about this, I want you to take this home. As silly as this might sound, I want you to take this home. Maybe leave it in your car. Maybe put it on your dresser, wherever you want, wherever you could see it each and every day. As we go into this fast, just for the 3 weeks, okay? Fasting without prayer is like trying to chug a water bottle that's empty. I can do it. Johnny, you want to go ahead and chug that one? Go for it, bro. Go. Oh, that tastes good, right? Anybody ever been really thirsty and you're like, I just want to quench my thirst? That's amazing. I almost fell off the stage. But I can try to chug. I can do the motions, but I'm not going to get anything out of it, right? Fasting without praying is like trying to chug a water bottle that's empty. You can go through the motions, but you're not actually going to get anything out of it. Your sole purpose for fasting should be for you to seek the Lord. So I want you to take that home and just put it somewhere as you go on your fast, whether it's the Daniel fast or something else. So when you just as a reminder, every single time, what's the true purpose of this fast? Why am I doing this? Is it to do it because Natalie's doing it? Doing it because my friends are doing it, or I'm doing it because the church told me to? Or am I doing it because I want to build my relationship with God? I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to develop my prayer life. Just as a reminder. Amen? And don't live in bondage to that. As Pastor Greg was saying, like, if I go out to eat with Natalie and she said she's been doing the Daniel fast and she orders pancakes and eggs and all this stuff, you can encourage her, hey, were you doing the Daniel fast? You know, don't be like, hey, weren't you doing the Daniel fast? Look, everybody, like, don't put somebody in condemnation, all right? So we're starting that as a church on Sunday, a fast for 3 weeks, the second and third and fourth week of January, something we do every year, but there's a reason for it. If Johnny, if you can come back up. In Daniel 10, starting in verse 3, anytime we do something as a church, or, you know, God's moving, or something is, you know, we speak on something, I'm always, like, trying to find, okay, you know, where does that come from? Why do we do it the second and third week, you know, second, third, and fourth week of January? Does anybody know why? Like, why is the Daniel fast? Why do we start the year off with the Daniel fast? We didn't just say, hey, let's start the year off with the Daniel fast. It didn't happen that way. It's in Daniel 10, starting in verse 3. It says, this is Daniel talking. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions for whatever, I mean, just apparently. You can add that to your fast. I'm not going to use any lotions. All right. He didn't use any lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Euphrates around his waist. His body was like a topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them, and they fled and hid themselves. And number 7, as we close tonight, fasting heightens your spiritual senses. So Daniel goes on a 3-week fast, not a diet. He's going on this fast to get closer to the Lord. He replaces these things with more time with God. And on the 24th day, he sees this vision that everyone around him, no one else can see. And it got to the point where they got scared of the presence and what was going on. And it says, the scripture says they fled. But because there we go. Because Daniel was seeking the Lord and he was, you know, going after God with everything because his senses were heightened, he wasn't afraid of God's presence. Well, what do you mean? Can you be afraid of God's presence? When you're fasting and your spiritual senses are heightened, you'll know what's God and what's not. You'll hear God. You won't be afraid of a move of God. You'll show up tomorrow night at Destiny Church and not be weirded out. Right? You're like, well, that was weird. Well, have you prayed in 6 months? Like, these things in our lives. Like, I don't want to put any condemnation on anyone, but let's be real. You know, you won't be afraid. Not only will you not be afraid of the presence of God, but you won't be afraid of the demonic, because you'll realize and you'll know that the demonic is not God, so it can't touch you. It has no place in your life. And I can get rid of these things. I'm not carrying these things. God is bigger than these things. If we were honest with ourselves tonight, of just, where's my prayer life? Come on, if everyone can just stand with me. Thank you, Jesus.